goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. It's running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
If you would, take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 14. We're going to continue our study through the book of Joshua, through the life lessons that we can gain from Joshua. And today, as you have noticed, our theme is service, faithful service. And when it comes to Christian ministries, and especially in a church, there are several different kinds of people who serve. There are those who serve in very public ways, and they receive recognition for what they do, and everybody knows exactly what they do because they're in front of everybody. And there are also those who serve that nobody has any idea what they do. They're in the background, and they receive very little recognition, but they remain faithful and just do the things that God has called them to do. And then there are some of those who serve, but they're not really happy where they're serving because they really wish they were doing something else. They wish they were in the front and they're stuck in the back, or they wish they were doing some other ministries. And so they're serving, but they're not real happy with where they're serving, and they're frustrated with their serving. And then you have those people who really just don't do much of anything. They just kind of exist. And you have all these different kinds of people. We have been going through this book of Joshua, and we see that Joshua was one of those who served in a very public way. And we learned a lot about him. You know, Joshua was a man who wasn't distracted by outside things. He was a man who led through difficult times. He was a man who learned from sin and the consequences of sin and grew from that. He was a man who obeyed God completely. He let God be God, and he chose to be who he was and follow God's leadership. And he did all this stuff in a very public way. Everybody knew Joshua. But today we're going to look at somebody else. We're going to look at another man that we find in the book of Joshua. We're going to see this man, Caleb. Caleb was not one who served in a way that everybody saw. He was different. You may know a little bit about Caleb. He was one of the spies that was sent by Moses to survey the promised land. And he came back and in spite of the obstacles, and he said, "This is the land that God has for us." He was one of only two adults who left Egypt and got to enter into the promised land. We know little about Caleb. We know a lot about Joshua. I mean, Joshua has a whole book of the Bible written about him. There are songs sung about Joshua. I mean, he like had some battle of Jericho where the walls came tumbling down, and we sing about him. Nobody sings a song about Caleb. Caleb was content to be in the background. Caleb was simply faithful. he had the audacity to simply believe that God had a purpose for his life and he was going to live out that purpose no matter what happened in his life. And nothing was going to change that. When Joshua became the leader, Caleb and Joshua were together. They were both as spies. When Joshua became the leader, Caleb didn't complain about the leadership of Joshua. Caleb did everything he could to make Joshua successful as a leader. And now as we come to the passage today, the battles are winding down here in the book of Joshua. And Caleb is receiving his inheritance. And as he receives his inheritance, as we see this interaction, there are some great lessons for us. So let's read together in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot is trodden will be an inheritance to you, to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.' Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years. From that time, the Lord spoke the words to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today, and I am still as strong today as I was in the day of Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which your Lord spoke that day. For you heard that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities, because the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb and the sons of Jephunneh the Kenizzite until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kerish Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest for more. In this passage, we see the words here of Caleb. He says, "What was in my heart," in verse 7. Caleb knew what was true in his heart. Faithful service begins with what we know to be true. And faithful service begins what we know to be true based on a relationship that we have with God. He was confident in his relationship with God. When he came back and he made his report, it wasn't based on what he saw. It was based on what he knew God to be. It was about a relationship. And he wasn't willing to waver on truth because he wasn't willing to waver on who God was. Nothing could turn him away from that. Nothing could turn him away from what he knew to be true because he knew who God was. A relationship. You see, in our world today, there are a lot of things that clamor for our attention. There are a lot of things that can draw us away from what we know to be true in a relationship with God and begin to get us questioning some things. We live in a world where there's not a minute that goes by that we aren't connected with something. We have something speaking in our lives. Most of us carry this little thing around. That whenever we have a second of time when we're not doing something else, it's in our hands. Some of you right now have it in your hands. Some of you right now can't put it aside for a couple seconds because it is a distraction. It is a distraction. And when we have a moment, we're going to be on some video, we're going to be texting somebody, we're going to be on social media looking up who's doing what or what's going on or whatever, because we have these distractions into our life and we see all this stuff. And with all these distractions, we have a lot of things that speak into our life that just aren't true. They're just simply false. And because we have these false things speaking into our life, there is this danger of not being able to follow what you know to be true. Caleb served God because he knew that God was true. And he didn't question when all the obstacles came in. We have to take time in our life to spend with God and to hear from him, to know what is true. You see, what's in our heart, what was in Caleb's heart, had to be greater than the obstacles that are in the world. We spend time today talking about things like discovering who we are. And we want to take time to find ourselves, and especially students, when you graduate high school or you get to college, you said, I need to find myself. I need to discover who we are. And I'm going to say something that might bother you a little bit, but I don't really think you're supposed to discover who you are. I don't think you're supposed to take time to find yourself. I think you should take time to find who God created you to be. You're supposed to take time to discover who you are in Christ. Not find yourself, but find who God has created you to be. So you discover who you are when you live for God. You discover who you are when you serve God. When you are faithful to God, you will figure out all these other things. Caleb knew who he was. He was confident and comfortable with who he was because he was walking with God. He had no interest in others' opinions. He didn't care what the world said. He didn't care what the other spies said. None of those things bothered him because he knew who he was in Christ. He wanted to know God, and he was convinced that whatever God said was going to happen just because God said it. And so because God said the promised land was going to be yours, Caleb's like, good. We're good to go. I'm ready. I'm going to go do that. When the other spies saw all the problems, Caleb saw something different. And he didn't see something different because of an outside thing. It was an internal thing. Because he walked with God, he saw it different. In verse 8, we see the others feared. It says their hearts melted, and when they feared, Caleb believed. When the others saw obstacles, Caleb saw opportunity. When others saw the unknown and they were afraid of the unknown, Caleb's like, the unknown's pretty cool, and we're going to go conquer the unknown because it's where God wants us to go. In this scenario, though, we see something interesting, that Caleb didn't have much influence on the people around him. The Israelites took the advice of the other spies, and they did not follow Caleb and Joshua. And you could see where a guy like Caleb could get discouraged, and he could at this point said, you know what? You guys are a bunch of morons. I just quit. I'm done. I'm not serving anymore. I'm not doing anything anymore. If you guys can't do what's right, then I'm just going to walk away, and I'm done with this. He could have done that. He could have decided, though, look, I'm right, you're wrong, and so you guys just go be wrong. But he didn't. He continued to do what he knew was right. He continued to have this attitude of, let's do this. He continued to excitedly serve God as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. What carries a person to go 40 years serving faithfully when all around him he knows that this is going to be a long haul? What is it? He didn't get burnt out. He didn't complain. He wasn't crushed. We continue to see he served God faithfully. What do we do? What do we do when obstacles are in our lives? What do we do when the people around us are complaining about who God is? What do we do? Do we continue to serve, or do we make excuses of why we can't? Do we trust God, or do we have a lack of trust that is shown by our actions? Caleb trusted God. Look again at verse 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot is trod will be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years, from the time that he spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and for coming in. So we see the story of Achan, and we see the consequences of sin. We don't follow God. We take things in our own hands. We see the consequences of that. But just as we see that, we see when we faithfully serve, there is a reward. Some people get an idea that our reward is based on something that we do. If we just pray enough, then we're good. And so if you want to see God do something, we just pray enough. And you won't hear me say this very often, but I'll say it today. Sometimes prayer really just isn't enough. Right? Sometimes it's not just about prayer. Sometimes you think if we just work hard enough, then we're going to be good. If we just do enough stuff, that we're going to be good. And if we just do that, we're okay. But it's not about how much we pray, and it's not about how much we work. It's about this thing called faith. Look, if we pray without faith, it's just empty words. And if we work and we don't have any faith, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. See, prayer is important. Please be people of prayer. Work is important. Please serve and please work. But let's let the results of those things be in the hands of God, because we have faith in Him. See, a great deal of what we experience in our walk with God is dependent on our faith. It's not in our own confidence, but it's in His promises. See, we can't have what God has promised if we don't believe that He meant what He said. If we don't believe that God meant what He said, then how do we expect to experience His promises? See, what kept Caleb going was that he trusted His promises of God. Through many battles, God had kept Caleb alive. 45 years God had kept the promises to Caleb. And even though he waited for his inheritance to come, he continued committed to serve. And he was given these two promises. First, that he would live a long time, and he did that. And second, that he receive an inheritance, and both of these things would come true. Do we trust God to fulfill His promises? Do we have that kind of trust in Him? How long are we willing to wait to see this happen? How long? You see, I'm not a patient person. Maybe you guys are like me. I'm not a very patient person. This is truly me, all right? I am thinking about this sermon yesterday as I am defrosting some antelope sausage to put on my pizza. So I have this antelope sausage in the microwave, and I'm thinking through this thing. And as I'm watching the microwave time tick down, it went 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, stop. All right? It's coming out. All right, 3 more seconds, I'm not waiting. I'm putting that stuff in the frying pan, and we're getting it cooked. And then it just dawned on me as I was thinking of this message and I was stopping the microwave. You know, sometimes I really do treat God like that. I'm not willing to wait. I'm not willing. How could Caleb wait so long? And I began to think about my calling as a 22-year-old to do full-time ministry. And I knew God was calling me to do ministry, and I didn't take my first full-time position until I came to this church when I was 27 years old. Man, I had to wait a long time. 5 years was a long time. And then, when I was coming here, I got a phone call in March, and I submitted my resume in March, and I didn't have come here in view of a call for my interview until October. 7 months. Man, that's like forever. And I had to wait all this time, and I was so impatient. And here Caleb receives his promise. 45 years he waited for God to deliver His promise. And God had big plans for Caleb's future. Big plans for what He was going to do in Caleb's life. And Caleb served, and he served. And 45 years later, now the thing that's interesting is Caleb didn't wait 45 years to see God work. God worked in Caleb's life for 45 years. The whole time, God was working. And the whole time, Caleb was serving. And did you catch this in this passage? He says that he was 85 years old, and he was still as strong as he was in the day of Moses. He was 40 years old then. 40 years old. I remember when I was 40 years old. I was still playing rec league basketball at 40 years old. I was playing softball rec league at a fairly high level. And now I'm 51. A couple shoulder surgeries and elbow surgery. I played softball last year. I ruptured a calf muscle. I was preaching in a boot. I'm not nearly where I was when I was 40. See, recently I was at my doctor's office, and my orthopedic doctor getting ready to do my shoulder surgery said, "Let's get you fixed up, you're still young." And I went and visited my family doctor, and he says, "Ed, what are you doing? You're 51 years old, stop." At a time when many people would quit, Cabe was looking forward to what was next, the next experience. Like, he had more wisdom. He had learned lots of lessons, and he was willing to move on. He knew that God still had a purpose and a plan, and he was willing to take the next step. Why do we think that it's time to quit? Why do we think there's a time that we can quit serving God? Why do we think that, you know, hey, I've done my time, maybe it's somebody else's time. I've served a long time, maybe somebody else should serve. Why do we ever think that in this thing called life, where we walk with God, there's a time we can say, you know what, I'm done? God always has something for us. Caleb had this history of serving, and he knew that God was going to be trusted, and he knew that God still had more. So he just continued to faithfully serve. And he says, look, there's these great obstacles, but God's going to continue to provide for him. God had big plans. And so the end of this, we see these plans. He says, now then give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. If you heard that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities, perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. The future wasn't going to be easy. There were still fortified cities. There were still battles to happen. There were still enemies. But Caleb says, you know what? It's okay. It's in God's hand. Let's move into the future. And God gave him the power to conquer the land, 85 years old, conquering this land, leading people in, and God's promise was fulfilled. Caleb didn't rest about what he accomplished in the past, but he was willing to follow God into the future, faithful service. And we see in this passage, over and over again, those words, he followed God fully. Today, let me ask you, are you following God fully? Are we giving part-time to God? Are we serving in our spare time? Are we giving God what's left? Or are we truly following God fully? I don't know what that looks like for you, but I know where it starts. It starts with a relationship with God. You can't follow God fully if you aren't walking with God. That begins at salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can't follow God fully because you do not know Him. But it doesn't end there. It's not like in our this Christian life that we say some prayer and we accept Christ as our Savior, and then we just someday later punch our ticket to heaven and get our mansion and walk on the streets of gold and we're good. It doesn't just end with salvation. There is this pilgrimage, this journey that we do as we serve Him. And most of us are going to serve like Caleb without much recognition. And they're just going to serve. A few years ago, I went down to a baseball game in Colorado. I took three people that had never been to a Major League Baseball game before in their life. So we got there really early. And as we were watching batting practice and stuff, I was just kind of just observing. And I noticed some things. There were some people that were preparing the field for the game. And there were people getting concession stuff set up. And there were all this activity going on while the players were on the field. And then the game started. And they televised that part. And for the next few hours, all these people that were in the spotlight got televised. And then when the game was over, we hung out long enough that they eventually said, we're locking up. You guys have to go. And as we were watching at the end, we were seeing that there were people out there picking up trash. And they were prepping the field again, watering the grass, and doing all these things that nobody else saw because the TV cameras were off. And most of us are going to serve God when the cameras are off. Are we willing to do that? On a Sunday morning, for 4 hours, there's a lot of stuff that happens in our church. There's a lot of stuff that happens that nobody notices. When the weather is nasty outside, sidewalks are shoveled, and the things are plowed, and we have the place is clean when we come in, and we have all different kinds of ways that people serve that we never even see. On Wednesday nights, we come in and we eat a meal and we go to Bible study, and there's all kinds of things that have to happen so that can be seen. Our church is a church that is involved in ministry, and there's a lot of things that happen throughout the week that in ministry that we have no idea. One of my favorite things is when somebody comes to me and says, Ed, I'm so thankful your church did such and such. And I'm like, we did? Cool. I like that too. I'm thankful too because there's so much that happens that I don't even know about. Because people, followers of God, are like Caleb and they're just serving. Because it's what God wants them to do. And so my challenge for you this morning is to consider where God has for you. Don't be so concerned about what you're not doing that you're missing out about what you are doing. Don't be so worried about being a Joshua that you're not happy being a Caleb. Serve where God would have you to serve. This morning, consider, are you fulfilling your ministry? Are you doing what God would have you to do? I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer that question for yourself. Are you doing what God would have for you? Are you giving God your best? Does God still have something for you? Are you clinging to the promises of God? Great lessons from the life of Caleb as we serve him. If you were being written about the end of your life, would the words be said, "You served God fully"? If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Savior, you can't follow him fully. Let me invite you this morning to consider entering into a relationship, to confess your sins, to receive forgiveness, and to walk in a newness of life with him. If you are here this morning and you're struggling with your place of service, let me invite you to spend that time with God, to figure out who you are as God created you to be, and find that place where you just know that you're just doing what God has, and you're content because you're walking with him.